Next case is Placemart. I think that's correct rather than Plasmart. Placemart versus PTO and Jar Chen Wang et al. 2011-15-70. Mr. Sonnabend.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I am Jeffrey Sonnabend, and I represent Appellant Placemart, Inc. In the present case. The present case, as small as the case as it may seem on its face, actually presents, I think, an issue of great importance. And the issue is this, an issue that may change fundamentally how certain aspects of references are applied in the Patent Office. The issue is this, can the Patent Office, in analyzing prior art references, ignore teachings of the drawings of those references in favor of what the specification says about those drawings? Or must the teachings of the drawings be independently analyzed, independent of the written spec? That is a picture really worth 1,000 words, or do you need 1,000 words to explain the picture? The case is a low-tech case. We're not talking about integrated circuits or recombinant DNA. We're not talking about particle accelerators.
Maybe even very low-tech.
It doesn't get much lower, and it's about 6 inches off the ground to boot.
Right.
It's a child's ride-on toy, and it's an area where, if ever there was an area that the picture explains at all, this is it. You look at the thing, my 5-year-old, who's now 6, can understand how the thing works, can understand the mechanics of it intuitively.
Although the mechanics of how it operates as a potty were not intuitive to me. Did you catch that? One of the translations says that just discloses it also operates as a potty,
actually,
and the other one says it doesn't.
That's actually,
there are two different translations.
It's actually a different reference. It's a translation of a reference that ended up not being relevant. Yes,
see.
Someone somewhere in the world came up with the ride-on toy that is also a potty.
All right.
Not relevant
wow.
here. Yes, I agree.
All right.
The structure at issue here is a forwardly extending arm. It's an arm that extends off forward.
Let me tell you what I think your problem is. I think your problem is that it may well be that a forwardly extending arm to prevent the thing from tipping over was in the prior art, and that there was a motivation to combine that with the scooter or whatever this thing is. But the question is whether there was a motivation to attach it to in the particular place where it was attached, and that the placement of the attachment is argued to have some benefits which wouldn't exist in the prior art simply from combining the arm with the scooter.
Respectfully, Your Honor, I don't think that properly characterizes the issue. What happened here was there was a drawing in Song. Song is this Chinese language reference. It's got two drawings, or it's four drawings. There's one drawing that's at issue here, figure one. Three different people of skill in the arts looked at this figure and said, this figure, when you look at it, shows the forward arm, the forwardly extending arm. And it shows it in the same way, in the same position, as claimed.
Well, I'm accepting that, but I'm saying that in addition to that, if you do combine the two references, you don't get the attachment to the driven member in a way that when the driven member is turned around, that the arm itself moves so that it is more likely to support the scooter from tipping over. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I believe I do, Your Honor. That would go to, I think, what's labeled as point B in the brief, and that's this notion of common sense, and does common sense dictate that combining the Han Dong reference with Song gets you a rejection under 103? Does it get you to what's been claimed? But to get there, you first have to get to this issue, which implicates 102, a single reference, just Song, invalidating the patented issue. And
but I don't understand. I mean, to me, the anticipation argument doesn't work because the prior references don't show attaching this wheel to the driven member.
Well, that's interesting, Your Honor, that the court expresses that view, because I don't see anywhere in the board's opinion that says that. What I see in the board's opinion.
Well, I interpret them to be saying that, but. Let's not get distracted by the anticipation issue. Let's assume for the moment that you lose on that. because the prior doesn't show attaching to the wheel, attaching the wheel to the driven member the way it's shown here.
Well, if you're only going to focus on the 103 issue, I think common sense dictates you have a reference, the Handong reference, that shows a body of the device that is not, looking down from the top, is not square. You cannot put the wheels where Song, in the court's just articulated interpretation, would have them be put. Same interpretation that the board put forth. They cannot, because the device is a pointy nose. And so anyone looking at this and watching the thing rotate, this prior art of Handong, watching the wheels rotate back and forth and the shafts on which the wheels are mounted, the driven wheels rotate, would understand that in order to prevent the thing from tipping over left or right, you have to get the so-called safety wheels out to the side where it's tipping. And looking at figure one of Song, figure one alone, and what that teaches is it teaches an arm extending out. And so once you have a driven portion that rotates side to side, it is common sense to put that extending arm, which I believe Song actually does show, but to take the court's hypothetical here, to take the court's position, I should say, it's common sense, as anyone knows, if you're falling to the left, you've got to get your leg out to the left to stop from falling over. So it's common sense to combine the two in just the way that the court, I think, has indicated would not be common sense. I think that's error. But the more important issue here, to even get there, is you have to figure out what Song shows. Because if Song does show the arm, as the three examiners on re-exam said it does, the figure alone, then I think the court's argument that the 103 rejection would fail, I think that argument goes out the window. And that's the problem here. The problem here is that the Song figure one conveys something. You pick it up and you look at it and the picture tells 1,000 words.
Yeah, but the spec provides the words that go with the picture.
Ah, there's the crux of the issue, Your Honor. The problem here is we have what I called in the oral argument before the board, a lousy drawing. That, of course, that language is taken out of context by the board. It's lousy because the teachings of the drawing itself contradicts what the spec says about it. And three different examiners, the examiner on re-exam, and the two conferees, the conferees under MPEP 2671.03. So three examiners looked at this, and they all said, yeah, if you look at the drawing, you see this forwardly extending arm, extending from the driven portion. They did the right thing. They said, what does the drawing show? It's taught something. I've looked at it, I've seen it, it's taught me something. Now I might learn something else by reading the spec. But I can't unteach what has been taught. I can't unring that bell.
That's not true. You can unteach it. If the spec directly contradicts it, directly says, no, that's not an arm extending. It may look that way in the picture, but it's not. It's actually a wheel joined to the body, not the twisting member. Then, that's what that does disclose then. You take the spec as a whole. You don't extract a piece of it and ignore the rest of the specification.
This is true, but by the same token, as this court has said time and time again, and as recently as 2010 in the George Martin case, it's a teaching for everything it teaches, even accidental teachings. And so I would ask the court...
Well, you suggest even accidental teachings, but I think the question is, does this disclose an additional embodiment to what's disclosed in the spec? Or is this the embodiment of what is disclosed in the spec and characterized more particularly improperly?
Well, I would answer that, Your Honor, respectfully with this question. Take the hypothetical from the brief. If the drawing showed a circle, and someone understood the circle to be functional, and then the spec called it a triangle, has anyone really unlearned the circle?
That's not the case here, though, Mr. Sondag.
We're
talking about a specification which is consistent with the diagram, which explains the diagram.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor.
I thought you would.
But the drawing,
difference does it make? I mean, suppose it is attached to the body. The concept of having a wheel to prevent the thing from tipping over is disclosed in the prior art, whether you call it on an arm or attached to the body or whatever, right?
That's in the language of the claim. That particular limitation is in the claim. This forwardly extending arm. And the question is, does the prior art have this?
Yeah, but I mean, the idea of having the wheel attached to a forwardly extending arm as opposed to the body, what, you know, why isn't that itself common sense?
I think it may be. And I think certainly looking at the image, it reinforces that. And I think that it's a dangerous road to go down, respectfully, to say that, to hide behind this notion of the specification has to be read as a whole. Because in the real world, if someone looks at that drawing and says, wow, there's an arm there, that's a great idea. Wow, this guy didn't mean to draw an arm. I'm reading the spec, that's supposed to be on the body. But wow, I saw that as an arm. That's a great idea.
Mr. Sullivan, you wanted to save 5 minutes. You can continue or save it.
Is my time up, Your Honor?
No, you're into the time you wanted to save for rebuttal.
Oh.
You're entitled to keep
No, that's it, Your Honor. I think that the point has been made. In short, I think it's very important to understand the notion of unringing the bell.
Right. We'll hear from Mr. Rosillo. You were taking 10 minutes.
That's correct, Your Honor.
The Patent Office, and then the patentee is represented by Mr. Raymond. Okay.
Good morning. May it please the Court.
So is this the first for you? Getting to argue in favor of patentability.
It is the first time to argue. I get to argue in favor of patentability.
It does.
And as counsel for PlaySmart mentioned several times, a picture is worth 1,000 words. I would submit in this case, we've got a picture that's worth 1,000 ambiguous words.
What difference does it make whether it's an arm or it's attached to the body? The board said it was there was a motivation to combine the two, that is to put a wheel onto the scooter to prevent it from tipping over. I mean, this is pretty simple stuff. I mean, we seem to have gotten into this argument of whether Song shows an arm or attached to the body. Who cares? What difference does it make?
Well, what difference it makes is that the prior art doesn't show that when you attach the wheels to the tricycle that's disclosed in the prior art, that it would be in such a way that it's recited in Claim 1. And Claim 1 specifically recites that the safety wheel has to be attached to a supporting arm.
So, but isn't it obvious to attach it to a supporting arm?
No, I don't believe so. I think
it
was obvious given the disclosures of the prior art to attach the wheels to the side of the body of the scooter. Because
what's the big difference about doing it with an arm or attaching it to the sides of the scooter? I mean, you know, that doesn't seem like much of an invention.
Well, it may not seem like much of an invention, but relatively simple technologies, sometimes small innovations are patentable, and that seems to be the case here.
A very small innovation.
And the board also looked to the record of this case and found that there wasn't evidence in the record of this case to support either an anticipation or obviousness rejection. It made findings of facts that are substantial evidence to demonstrate why both Figure 1 of Song, the specification of Song, and the disclosure of the scooter and Handong, when put together, would not teach Claim 1.
What you're saying is the patent system isn't limited to high-tech inventions, and the question is obviousness over particular prior art.
That's correct. In the particular prior art in this case,
if we affirm, the patent will live unless and until someone else goes after it with a different prior art.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. And I also want to address counsel for PlaySmart.
What's the difference between the idea of having a stabilizing wheel, and the board seemed to find great significance in the question of whether the wheel is described as attached to the body or attached to a separate arm. The idea of having a stabilizing wheel was in the prior art, correct?
That's correct.
And so we're talking about the attachment point, right?
That's correct.
Attachment point. That's the only thing that's different.
Is there a difference in the number of wheels and whether they're on the ground and therefore being supporting?
Not with respect to Claim 1. There are some additional limitations in the dependent claims that address that, but with respect to claim one, that's not the case.
Well, it says a safety wheel. Song has two, right?
That's correct. In the specification of the Song, it discloses that there are two safety wheels, one on either side of the tricycle.
How about to support a front portion of the scooter body? How can it support it if it's not on the ground? Is that a relevant point?
Yes, Your Honor, that could be a relevant point as well. In the Song reference, what is disclosed that the wheels are actually off the ground and they don't come in contact with the ground unless and until the scooter tips over during a turn. I also want to address counsel for PlaceSmart's point that you can't look to the specification. In this case, you know, looking to the specification of Song to better understand what is in Figure 1, I think we have at least three reasons why we want to do that. First, it puts the figure in context. What counsel for PlaceSmart is arguing is that we would look at that figure in a complete vacuum, and you can't do that. You take that figure and you have to apply it to a claim. So you have to understand the context of that figure, and the specification provides that.
Well, you don't apply the figure to the claim. You interpret the claim in light of the specification and the figure.
That's correct. And also, with respect to obviousness, this court has counseled that you need to look to the entire teaching of the reference, both things that teach toward the claimed invention and what teaches away from the claimed invention. And finally, I would submit, when doing a substantial evidence review, you're also looking to the entire record. And in this case, you'd still be looking to the specification to decide whether or not the board's findings that Figure 1 did not show all of each and every claim limitation of Claim 1 was correct. And when you do go look to that specification, it clearly shows that the board was correct, made a proper factual finding, and that represents substantial evidence to support their decision.
But the factual finding was based, if I understand the board's opinion correctly, on the attachment point, not on the fact that the wheel was off the ground. Am I correct?
That's correct. It was the positioning of the wheel, where it was attached. I see I'm taking up my co-appellee's time. If there.
Well, we can hear from Mr. Raymond to defend his patent. And you have 5 minutes.
May it please the court. My name is Chris Raymond. I'm representing the patent holder. Patent holders Gu and Wong in this case. And I just wanted to address Judge Dyke's comments regarding the level of inventiveness here in this. Basically, as you indicated, the claim recites that the arm is extended from a certain part of the structure, which would be the twister member. And I have some demonstratives, if I could.
Were these notified to us?
Yeah, I just want to make sure of.
Were these notified to us?
I did indicate that the clerk would be granting
some.
All right.
Excuse me, counsel. We're so recording.
My apologies for any confusion. I'm just making sure that the sign. And these seem to be clear. And these are just reproductions of the figures in the Song reference. So, you know, Claim 1 recites that this, which isn't shown here, but it's appropriately extending arm. And the arm is recited as being extended from the twister member, which is defined as being connected to the lower portion of the transmission unit. So the claim recites an arm extending from the equivalent of this right-angled bracket, which is described as being beneath the scooter body. Now, Song, and Mr. Sonnabend and PlaceSmart contends that Song discloses that this frontward portion, this front portion here is an arm. As shown in Figure 1.
Would you stay by the podium, please, because we record...
My apologies. The front portion of that structure is the equivalent, or is an arm, extended from... frontally extended arm is defined in Claim 1. However, if you look at the Song reference, a description of that figure appearing in the Song, that is the base plate, which is part of the scooter body. Claim 1... So what you have here is a pair of wheels 24... connected to the base plate of the scooter, and essentially those wheels are described in Figure 2 of Song as being
you know, spaced out laterally at almost the same extent as the rear wheels, which are indicated by reference numeral 1.
I guess if I understand Judge Dyke's questions to the PTO, the questions were, why does it matter if it's still part of the base plate? I mean, who cares? Why isn't it still obvious? Whether you call it an arm and make it out of a separate piece, or just continue the base plate out and stick a wheel on it. I mean, this is low-tech stuff. That doesn't seem like a lot of ingenuity.
Correct, Your Honor. It is a fairly low-tech invention. However, I'm certain that you know there's still room for innovation, even in the children's ride-on toy sector.
But you want to hinge the innovation on the notion of a separate piece, which we'll call an arm. It doesn't actually look like an arm to me, but we'll call it that, versus just continuing the base plate out the front.
And there is a description in the brief and also in the patent itself about the benefits of using an arm as opposed to, well, it doesn't describe the safety arrangement of song, but it talks about essentially this frontwardly extending arm forming a triangular safety area which stabilizes the front of the scooter. So it's a different mechanism to stabilize the front of the scooter than is illustrated in Figure 1 of song.
Yeah, but you agree that the claim doesn't cover the triangular shape of the arm or anything like that. The claim is broadly covered, so it would include something other than a triangular shaped arm, right?
It's not the shape of the arm. It's the by frontwardly extending the arm and putting a wheel at the end of the arm, you define a triangular safety area between these wheels here, which are indicated by reference symbol 16, and the wheel that's projected off the front of the arm. So that, by using an arm extended from the twister member, you're defining a triangular safety area.
Yeah, but that, the problem I have with that is that I don't see that reasoning in the board's decision. I see them caught up in this issue of whether a song is an arm or not an arm, and at the same time they say it was obvious that there was a motivation to combine the two, and it just seems it seems hyper-technical. We're arguing about whether something's an arm or not an arm. That doesn't seem to be directed to the substance of the obviousness issue.
I think basically what happened, the examiner applied the rejection of the song, indicating that Figure 1 disclosed an arm. So the arguments basically responsive to that were that Figure 1 did not disclose an arm and therefore does not anticipate the claim. And you know, the obviousness rejection was seemed to be almost a restatement of whether song discloses an arm, then it's obvious to put the arm on Handong, which is acknowledged not to disclose any kind of safety feature. We made the two arguments, one that it's not an arm, and two that it's not extended from the driven portion of the twister members recited in Claim 1. The board decided the case on the basis of the lack of an arm being disclosed in the song reference.
Do you have one final thought, Mr. Raymond? Your time is up.
Well, I would also, basically, the appellant's position that you should take a drawing in isolation from the remaining, from the description of that drawing in the disclosure of the reference. The appellant hasn't cited any cases that support that position. Accidental disclosure is an unintended disclosure, one that's not explained in the description.
We understand that point.
But
thank you very much. Mr. Sonnabend has some rebuttal time. 4.5 minutes.
Yes, very briefly. I want to address two things very briefly. One, the director brought up in its argument this notion of the entire teaching. That's loaded. That's a loaded phrase because it can go one way and go the other way. The two ways it can go are this. You can say the entire teaching is taking this, harmonizing it into one coherent teaching, and that's the entire teaching. That would be wrong. What an entire teaching means is everything it discloses is disclosed. That's a practical, real-world rule. If it teaches four different things...
Mr. Sonnabend, I'm surprised you're arguing this hyper-technical point about the severability of meaning between a specification and a drawing when you've got a very low-tech invention, and your questions here have been about whether it's really obvious or not, but you're arguing this hyper-technicality.
Well, I think it is obvious. I think Judge Dyke is absolutely right. The issue before the court today, primarily, the court could look at the entire decision of the board and say it's not supported by substantial
evidence. The issue before the court is what appellants make it in relation to the decision below.
Right. I do think it's obvious. I think putting the wheels anywhere once you know about safety wheels is obvious. I think that's clear. And I think you need to look at the prior art and see for all teachers individually.
Thank you, Mr. Sonnabend. We'll take the case under advisement.